Hello, friends. This is Justin from FrugalSnobs.com. I brought my co-host with me, Christina. Say hello.
Hello.
And we hope you enjoy this episode of the Frugal Snobs podcast. If you like what you hear, as always, you can check out more by going to FrugalSnobs.com. You can check out all of our video content available on YouTube at YouTube.FrugalSnobs.com. You can check us out on social media at Facebook.com/FrugalSnobs or on Twitter at FrugalSnobs. And of course, you can catch this podcast on your podcatcher or podcasting network of choice. And if you have a smart speaker, feel free to ask it to play the Frugal Snobs podcast. As always, folks, be well, never pay retail. And now, on to the episode. Hey, everybody, this is Justin from FrugalSnobs.com. Brock, let me say hello.
Hello.
And welcome to episode 149 of the Frugal Snobs podcast. As we record this episode, today is Sunday, September 29th. 2019. We've been busy, been on the road, but we're back, folks, with this episode. Also, we're getting ready for big episode 150. Ooh, 150 ooh. Episodes. So we're putting together some material for that episode for your listening pleasure and also just to entertain. But that particular podcast is going to fall between events for you, Christina, so we'll talk about that as part of the episode. But I think we'll be in pretty good shape.
Yes.
So, this particular episode, the topic is basically hidden rewards. We're going to revisit the topic of rewards programs for loyalty, whether it be restaurants, credit card points, cashback rewards, you name it, folks. We're going to be talking about a few of these items and some points to remember when taking advantage of rewards programs. We'll also be talking about Christina's upcoming events as well, how things went last weekend in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and also about some updates that are out there for everyone's benefit, including new content on the YouTube channel and content that's coming to Facebook as well. So both for Christina's book series and for the Frugal Snobs. Whew. So let's kick it off here. Savings at the grocery store this week.
Massive?
Yes, very massive. So folks, long short, we spent $26 and change and were able to pick up $57 worth of stuff.
Yes.
So we did very well. We were able to save on everything from pasta to cheese to even beer. Micro-brewed beer, that is. And by the way, folks, you can check out a video review for one of the beers that we picked up this week. It is from Terrapin Brewing Company. It is the Up High IPA. So check that out. It's available on the YouTube channel right now. Okay? So a lot of stuff picked up at the grocery store this week.
Oh, yeah.
So saved $7.20 on pasta. So we're going to pick up 10 boxes of San Giorgio as well.
Berea.
Oh, sorry. It's Berea pasta. Again, neither entity or brand is a sponsor of the show, folks. Anything we talk about brand-wise or anything else, Mondelez, Kraft, any of these other companies are not sponsors of the show, by the way. Also, the rewards programs we're going to be talking about, there's no sponsorship whatsoever. Is that fair?
Yes.
Just want to point that out really early. So save $7.20 on pasta, over $9 on cheese. Quite a bit. Over $9 on beer, microbrewed beers, that is. So that's pretty cool. And you actually were able to get free lunch meat unexpectedly.
Yes.
$6 worth over a pound.
Yes.
$6 worth. So I'm going to join the Greenback Party. I'm going to revive that party. We found out, folks, this weekend watching some old reruns of Jeopardy, which never really get old, right? Especially if the questions are about history. We found out there was a party in the United States called the Greenback Party. Short-lived, but we want to join. So we're going to resurrect the Greenback Party. Pardon me, folks. Air's a little dry. So I believe you may be an orange spice tea, Christina.
Yes.
So I have a tea here, folks. And so if I did take a pause throughout the episode, I'll have Christina fill in for me a little bit. But I do have some tea here. Apologies for the coughs. Again, we don't have necessarily have a cough or mute button for this podcast. It is live. So whatever you get out of us is what you get. So what you see is what you get here. So if I cough, I apologize. Air's a little dry.
Don't you mean what you hear is what you get? Because I can't see us.
Well, that's a detail. Speaking of here, any of you folks hear that? That's a siren, okay? We're actually recording this episode from the comfort of the lair, the snob lounge in the snob lair. So we have a window closed. The weather's been decent, but I can still hear sirens. That is something living in this area, in the D.C. metro area, that I will not miss. It's all the sirens. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or all of the music, all the blaring sounds, all the screaming kids. Ugh. Like, I'm not saying kids are bad. But take care of your kids if you have kids, folks. I mean, your kid throwing a tantrum should not be the problem of other people.
Exactly.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
So, anyway, that's gone. But folks, again, if you hear any background noise, that's why. We're basically just lounging around to record this episode. We've been busy, so we're just kind of taking a little time for ourselves. So let's go ahead and move on from the grocery store. Saved quite a bit. Let's talk about this past weekend.
Yes.
So, really unexpected event for the Harrisburg Pop Culture Show, Comic-Con, that sort of thing.
Yes, PopCon, first annual.
The PopCon, Comic-Con, that kind of thing. We didn't know it was a first annual event, though.
No.
So, folks, just to give people a rundown, we, I believe, left Northern Virginia on Saturday morning, the 21st.
Yes.
Okay. Made the trip to Harrisburg. It was fairly uneventful, would you agree?
Yes.
Made it up there, did your setup in an old Boss Cops, which was actually, I was pleasantly surprised by that, folks. Carpeting means a lot.
Yes.
Because it helps to absorb.
The noise.
Yes, it's absorbed sound. So when Christine and I have been to events before together, a lot of times when there's no carpeting or any barrier, any acoustic resonance type of deal, we have to literally yell almost at each other to talk.
Yes.
Because of all the crowd noise, the echoes, the acoustics. But in an old department store, you know, I forgot that obviously these spaces are carpeted, right? And this is still the case. So we can actually hear talking to each other. So it was actually a decent event. What, huh? But it is truth here, folks. We're not messing around. We're not kidding around. It really actually meant a lot more than I thought it would. So let's go ahead and talk about your experience, kind of the unexpected extension of your display. And we'll talk about also our really nice hotel stay and things like that. We had a nice weekend away, folks, long short. Christina, you ended up selling a decent amount of product.
Yes.
A few pieces of art, lots of print books, and even a t-shirt. Sold your first t-shirt.
Yes.
So for the individual who remained nameless, but she knows who she is, thank you for buying the t-shirt. So now you have walking advertisement.
Yes.
For your book series. It's awesome. So sold a shirt, sold some art, sold some books. Did very well the first day. Second day was a little quieter than what we would have liked, but you still sold some stuff.
Yes.
So we were able to really leave Harrisburg pretty decently. So rewind a little bit, folks, back to the first day. So we arrive at the old Boss Cubs, set up. Load-in was pretty uneventful.
Yeah.
Decent, and at least there was good crowd control. Right, and a lot of really nice announcements that were respectful of other vendors.
Yes.
That, from a con perspective, that means a lot to us. Because, I mean, when there's large equipment or vehicles or rolling carts or anything else where people aren't respectful of other vendors and you park, like, in a fire lane or blocking, you know, traffic or, you know, again, rolling your carts and setting them up in the aisleways where people can't get around them, it's rude.
Yes.
It's rude. So there were some really good how do I put it, coachable announcements that were being made to get people to get their carts, you know, off the floor or to move vehicles, that sort of thing. It was nice.
Yes.
Able to park in the parking garage, no problem. Load in was decent. Load out was decent. But the first day went really well for us folks. Christina, you sold a number of paper books. In fact, we had somebody come back.
Yes.
Actually, you sold a couple of sets even the first day that we were not expecting.
Yes.
So, the first set was sold pretty quickly of all four books, and then another individual bought the first book, but then came back later in the day and said, "Hey, I'm back again. I don't like to leave a collection unfinished. I'd like the rest." That was awesome.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. So I'm really happy with that. We also sold some additional singles. And then on Sunday, as we mentioned, a few pieces of art went out. A t-shirt was sold and sold some more books.
Yes.
So really happy with that. The first day went really well. We also then picked up a Papa John's pizza for absolutely free, thanks to your parents and a gift card.
Yes.
Which we'll get to that as well, because we actually got another benefit out of that. Picked up a pizza, and with that purchase, we also hit enough Papa points with Papa John's to earn another free pizza.
Yes, and we're already on the way to another one.
Exactly. So we earned another free pizza and on our way to our next free pizza. So it was like we fronted our free pizza with the gift card. So now we have some more free pizza coming. So we're able to make up for that pizza that we used the card for. So, and we'll get to all this soon, folks, with the topic. If you're in the international audience and you have Papa John's or any other pizza chains, definitely take advantage of those. If you don't have a Papa John's and you're in the international audience, my condolences that you don't, because we like Papa John's as a chain. But again, you probably have something in your area. If you are in the international audience, welcome as well. That's fair. Whew, talking fast. Yes. Sorry about that. Finished the first day, picked up the pizza, went to the hotel. Believe it or not, we actually stayed in a sleep-in, folks. One of the quality, I think it was Quality Hotels is what they're called?
Choice
Hotels. I always mess that up. I think the program is called the Quality Program, though, for the hotel program. But this hotel was free for us due to a recent stay back in August in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, yes. Where we were not happy with our Quality Inn stay. Christina, you were able to get justice. We were able to obtain some additional points on our hotel points program with Choice Hotels. See, I got it right that time. And we were able to cash in points for a one night stay at an elevated or a more elite property.
Yes, right? And it was nice.
Yes, for a more premium property, I should say. And it was very nice. We were not expecting it. King size bed, sofa, coffee table, little mini extra room. So a
walk-in shower.
Yes, a walk-in shower, which we were not expecting. We were expecting an upgraded room. That being that it would have a sofa and a king size bed, but we thought it was going to be just basically a standard room with a little extra, like a little den area. No, it was more like a junior suite, folks. And I know Sleep Inn doesn't necessarily have junior suites, but it was more like a Garden Inn or a Courtyard by Marriott style room. We were very happy with that. Nice, spacious. We weren't cramped. We actually could walk around the room comfortably. Does that make sense, everybody? And then also we had, like Christina said, the walk-in shower. That was a bizarre thing, but it was cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a C-shaped little walkway in the shower with tiles. So it was almost like you could walk down this little corridor around the corner to take your shower, right? And then when you were finished showering, you could comfortably hang a towel still in the same area.
Yeah.
Dry off without the towel getting wet, you know, and then walk down this little walkway with the towel and hang it up on a hook before you leave the tiled area in the bathroom. It was pretty cool. I kind of like the design of it. But very happy with that. Had a nice killer breakfast on Sunday. Fair?
Yeah.
Decent quality. You had waffles.
Yes.
Did you not? I had some sausage and eggs. So happy with that. Had some really good Bold Rose coffee, too. So, I mean, folks, the Choice Hotels are not exactly luxury hotels. They're not made to be. They're more business hotels. But we were happy with the stay.
This was a nice stay.
Yes, it was a very nice stay. The only thing that was missing is if we had checked in earlier and there weren't kids still in the pool, I would have probably brought a swimsuit.
Yes.
Just probably hung out in the pool. It was heated, I believe.
Indoor.
Yes. So just to get ourselves a little swim in to finish out the day, that would have been nice.
Rest the feet in the water.
Yes. The only thing that would have made it better is a hot tub.
Yes.
That would have been nice.
Oh, so, we would have been there.
So we're looking at probably replicating with Choice Hotels in the future with other stays for other cons or other events. But I really dig the Sleep Inn. I was happy with it. I was actually pleasantly surprised. Is that
yes.
a fair statement? I was expecting it to not be as accommodating as what we thought. And it was not a bad stay. Good sleep, too. Also, there were enough pillows to make a nest.
Yes.
So let me explain this, folks. So I'm not going to go into the delve into Christina's personal preferences for sleep and things like that so much, but Christina, when you sleep, you make a nest.
Yes, I do.
So what I mean by a nest, folks, is Christina actually creates a pillow fort. So she has a pillow under her head and a pillow on each side of her. So that way when if she rolls in her sleep, you're always rolling onto a pillow.
Yes.
So you have comfort from all sides.
Yes.
So, yes, so there are enough pillows to make the nest. So it was a great stay. I would say it was a very good stay. And also, I fell asleep while Ring of Honor was on. Live, I think, or at least on syndicated programming, yes. which we never really see that often.
I tried to wake you up.
I'm sorry, I was tired. So, that's on the Fight app. I'll get it later. I think that's what I said, something like that. So, anyway, really nice stay, as I said before. Day two, a little quieter than expected, but you were able to sell a t-shirt.
I actually was able to double my space.
Yes, and, oh yes, sorry, I forgot about, I was just bragging about that until I was spaced. I'm sorry. I was focused on the sales, so. You did sell some additional books, some art, and a t-shirt on Sunday. We're happy with that. But like you said, unexpectedly, you grew from a 6-foot table to 10 feet of space.
Yes.
And you're able to extend your backdrop for your display up to 10 feet. So it was perfect. And so folks, just at the stage here, your table neighbors.
Yes.
Your booth neighbors, so to speak, at the event basically moved.
Yes.
Not because of anything we had done, just because they wanted to relocate and spread out more. So another vendor did not show up, so they were able to take advantage of additional space in a different part of the venue. So to also take advantage of that space, Christina, we were actually given clearance to extend the space for you.
Yes.
So we extended the backdrop, so now we have a 12-foot space, basically, or 14-foot space, basically.
We had a 16-foot space.
Okay, so all together, but you also then centered some things in the 16-foot.
Yes.
So we have clearance on both sides, and the backdrop extends to 10 feet.
Yes.
So you were basically prepared there with extra poles and whatnot for your backdrop. And then we moved the 6-foot table over a bit, shifted it over to center it in the 16-foot space. And you had a 4-foot table in the trunk of your car.
Yes, I did.
That you were able to leverage.
Yes, and it was nearly the same exact height as the other table.
Mm-hmm. So you brought that table in, extended the display.
Yes.
Without any issues. You couldn't even tell that it was a separate display. Folks, if you want to check out an image of this killer display from Christina, her colossal display, please check out Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/Imperial Legends Series.
Yes.
And there is an image there of what we're talking about. And I believe it has the tagline of land and expand.
Yes.
And 10-foot space. So it's pretty cool. You're able to let out all of your wares, including the art, which this helped you later on the second day. And I'll explain in a minute. So extended the display, had a lot more space. I think you were a little intimidating to your new neighbors. Because you had kind of the biggest display on the row.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well. And it definitely made the table cost worth it at this con at that point. Would you agree?
Yes.
So it was pretty cool. It also let you experiment with a large configuration, which we don't get to do that often.
I've never been able to do.
That's cool, because now you have a new configuration you can use at events.
Yes.
So it was pretty cool. It made the event worth it at that point. I mean, the first day alone made the event worth it, and the hotel stay made the event worth it. But
at least I had a tablecloth long enough
to fit the space.
Yes.
That's correct.
So it just fit, because I had a 4.5-yard or 13.5-foot tablecloth.
Right. So it barely fit it just perfectly fit, I should say.
Yes.
Also, the runner was centered and things like that. It looked great. So, and thank you for giving me some filler space so I can take a sip of tea. but it was really a nice, it was kind of a small victory, folks.
Yes.
When even if you're working and do this as a secondary thing, or if you do it as a full-time thing, as a con attendee, in terms of being a vendor, not just an attendee to go to the con. But if you're a vendor at these events, festivals, shows, signing events, community events, cons and things like that, any of these get-togethers, so to speak, or any of these gatherings, it's a big deal when you're able to extend your display or experiment with new things.
And not buy a second spot.
Exactly. And that, like I said, the first day made the event worth it with sales. The second day was worth it from sales as well, but it was also worth it because you got to use a larger space without the cost of a larger space.
Yes.
So it actually made this con very lucrative in more than just a monetary way.
Yes.
And that helped you on the second day, and I'll explain how. So, Christina, you were finally able to lay out more of your art.
Yes.
And a person who had seen you at a previous event, the other 4-state event, I believe, in Hagerstown, Maryland, came by to have her son look at your art. And her son wanted the art for basically, I won't say his birthday, but he wanted the art, wanted several pieces. So he and his mother came back, took a look at the art. He did, at least. She faked him out with, they were not buying anything today, and then came back and bought 3 pieces of art from you. So that was pretty cool.
And I had to keep you calm over that, because you're like, she said she's coming back to buy. It's like, she mouthed me, she'll be back.
And by the way, folks, this was a side conversation Christina and I had. We don't just talk about this stuff right in front of people at the table. I just want to point that out. So that was pretty good. And without laying the art out that way, this young man wouldn't have seen all of your art.
Exactly.
He'd want all the art. So it helped you in a sale. So it's pretty cool. You also sold the t-shirt, like we talked about. Made a little profit on that. And thank you to the person who bought your fourth book and the t-shirt unexpectedly.
Repeat business.
Absolutely. And advertising.
Yes.
So we're very happy with... I think we're happy with where things are going. I mean, it's not quite at the point where, Christina, you can do this full time, so to speak, in terms of surviving off of your series, but you're getting closer.
Yes.
So by bridging those gaps with other things, I mean, job, all this other stuff, I mean, yeah, we're making ends meet on that from your side. I mean, I'm still working full time, of course, but we still do the podcast. But if we could find a time and space where in our lives where we can do what we love to do versus what we have to do, we're getting there.
And that's why I'm going to make some little one-off books so people don't have to buy this series, but they can get a taste of my writing.
Right, right. And there's some ideas for that as well. And, you know, what's interesting here is I think providing con-exclusive pricing also helps. Folks, if you are familiar with Christina's work, if you're listening to this podcast because, or this episode in general, or the podcast, and you've subscribed, thank you. But if you're listening to this and you've seen Christina before, and you've seen her work before, you know, we always want to have something for you to have as a takeaway, right? So whether it's an episode of this show or other things, I think Christina's right. I think that having other items for people to try out, to demo the product in terms of what they're going to be getting with the larger books and things like that might be a good idea. You know, and something else to also consider with the con-exclusive pricing is that it incents a purchase at a con.
Yeah.
And it helps us the most.
You actually save almost an entire book with the discount that I have at the events compared to where I have them elsewhere.
And they're competitive pricing, folks. We noticed this is not a bad thing. We're not bunking anyone or anything else. But we did notice that for the value of what you're getting from Christina's product, you are very competitively priced. Folks, we were seeing products that were half the size, not as good in terms of the print quality, things like that, being sold for roughly 80 to 90% in some cases of what you're selling a better quality product for.
Yeah.
And a very intriguing concept. So nothing against other people, but at the same time, I mean, I know people say, oh, it's not about the money. In the end, it somewhat is, because people don't see what you put into to producing this product. You want to make something out of it.
Exactly, with all the time put into the artwork.
Can't pay bills with rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
All the time anybody? Put into the actual content and
exactly.
The layout.
Exactly, and this is all organic. I mean, you did all of the artwork for the covers. You did all of the writing. You did all of the work for the layouts for the audiobooks. You did everything, all the art. And it's also not only just creating the content, it's sourcing it as well. There's just as much work in finding good partners to help you create the physical products as it is creating the products.
And I'm glad...
Intellectually, that is.
I was at least glad to find local sourcing for the audiobooks to support other local businesses.
But that's my point. My point is it takes just as much time to find those partners as it does to create. Because you can create all you'd like. If you can't get it to market affordably...
It's like you never created it at all.
Exactly, because you'll be in the hole for it. And I think that's what people need to look at as well, is that when looking at if events are worth it or not, you need to look at those things. It's not just about making a sale. It's about being profitable. Like, I'll say it, you know, one more time. Profitable.
I don't have my dictionary on me, or I'd read it out loud.
But it is. I mean, if for example, for this Harrisburg Comic Con, I'll break it down for folks, okay? We had a little bit of an advantage from the hotel perspective, but when it comes down to it, the con itself was, let's say, $85 for 2 days for table. You're already in the hole for that. Gas and fuel costs to get there from Nova, $30 to $40 for a full tank of gas to get to and from. You're in the hole for that. Now you're up to, what, $125? Then if you had a hotel for a night, especially where we stayed, it's probably $150 with taxes even. So you're at $125 plus another $150. So you're at, $275 there?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's $275. Let's throw $25 in there for a pizza that we would have to pay for as well in there if it was the works or whatever or fully loaded. So you're at $300 for a two-day event. Okay? So your sales have to be pretty significant to be profitable at that point.
Yes.
That is why these events have to be analyzed.
And I don't think you mentioned cost of material.
Like, yes.
Book cost, CD
cost of goods sold. Cost of goods sold is what that is. Cost of goods sold. Right? I mean, because that's taken out of profit. You know? So it's like, oh, I sold $400 today. I'm like, yeah, and you didn't take out all the costs you have incurred for being here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, yeah, these events are very lucrative in some cases, especially if they're free or local community events. But in other cases, that's why, for example, folks, people are wondering, well, why don't we only see you at like Steel City Con once a year? That's why. Yeah. We're coming from hours away.
Four hours.
Yes, each way.
Yes.
So, plus there's hotels, food, everything else, fuel, everything. Everything, folks. So, people are saying, oh, what do we see with these events? Because they're expensive. I'll just openly say it. Are they expensive?
They are, and I've just done three in a row. I need a break.
Exactly. Now, on the plus side, you were at least profitable at all of them.
Yes.
So, we came home. When I say profitable, folks, that means we came home able to cover table, hotel, fuel, food, and still made money after cost of everything. So we're happy with that.
Yes.
But for people to say, well, why don't we come to all these events? Because it's easy for you to say as an attendee because you're not fronting the cost of getting there.
It is more for a vendor to be there than it is an attendee.
Vastly more. Vastly more for a vendor to typically be at these cons that are for pay than it is for an attendee. Right? An attendee might spend $20 to get in for the day, but a vendor can spend up to $125 to $250 a day to be there. So see, this is behind the curtain a little bit. So I don't want to seem negative or really kind of pushy, but I just want people to understand the effort.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm getting off the hitch here for that. But excuse me, folks. Regardless, the events are definitely worth it for us. That's also why we also want to become more of an attraction. We don't. If you see us all the time, it's not special anymore.
No.
You know. So, also we have to look at weather and time of year and things like that for the later part of the year. But really a good event. I'll get off of the of that now. Also made a stop on our way back to Nova and stopped at Lancaster Brewing Company and picked up a beer glass.
Yes.
So I have a new piece of glassware, folks. They were very good to me at that location, so I'd like to thank them. It's a branch location for Lancaster Brewing Company in Harrisburg. But I was really happy with not only the fact that I was able to pick up a beer glass affordably to use in our video reviews for all of our quick drink reviews, but they also provided me with a complimentary koozie and a couple of stickers as well. So that was pretty cool. I was not expecting that. So thank you to Lancaster Brewing Company in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Also, the glass that I mentioned, folks, is available on the Terrapin Brewing Company's Up High IPA video that I mentioned on the YouTube channel. It was released this week. Check it out. It's also available, I believe, on Facebook at facebook.com/FuelSnobs.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Christina. So is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of the con, or did we kind of...
We nailed it.
...push that envelope? So let's go ahead and talk about your next shows, and then we'll get into the topic. Is that
awesome.
Okay? So, folks, episode 150, which will be a big episode for us for preparing content for that now, it's probably going to end up being a mega show for us, I think, in terms of the topics we cover. But we will be spending some time talking about the shows, the upcoming, Christina, as well, and a couple of them immediately in October. One is Crooked Run Brewing.
Yes.
And that is, I believe, October 12th.
Yes.
It's a Saturday, and I believe it's from 2 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I believe.
2 to 8.
Oh, I apologize.
I think, or it might be 2 to 9. I am there from 2 to 7.
Gotcha, so you have 5 hours.
Yes.
There as well. And we don't have an exact table number or anything like that at this point, folks. But, I mean, I'm sure as information develops, it'll be available on Facebook, facebook.com/Imperial Legends Series.
Yes.
Also, just to point out, folks, you've also added a map to imperiallegends.com, Christina.
Yes.
There is a Google map, and we'll be adding updated Google maps for each of your shows moving forward. So it's very easy for people to go to imperiallegends.com and find out where you'll be next.
Yes.
So there's an interactive Google map there. You can also get directions by clicking on the map and the push pin. And also you provide the addresses for all of your shows.
Yes.
Moving forward. So that's a new addition that came out actually just yesterday.
Yes.
On the website, imperiallegends.com. So we're making it easier for folks to find you. Come find me.
Come find me.
But not in a weird, creepy stalker, no, restraining order sort of way.
Come support me.
Yes, thank you. That's better. And then after Crooked Run, which is October 12th, you then have Balticon.
Yes.
At the Baltimore Convention Center. And I believe that is October 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes.
I believe. Again, times.
They vary. Check my website. Yes. Everything is there.
Yes. And I think you can go to imperiallegends.com for that.
Yes.
Also, again, as we are moving forward and promoting, everything is going to be made available on a social stream at facebook.com/imperiallegends.
And speaking of Facebook, you can actually log on to the Facebook for Imperial Legends and find a map to my table.
Nice. That's true, because you actually provided arrowed maps.
Yes.
To your table. I believe you're A303.
Yes.
I believe 303. A303, by the way, Balticon, folks. Pixelcon is actually the event being held at Crooked Run Brewing.
Yes.
Again, all this information is available. You can also tap it all into your Google machine.
Actually, it's Pixel Fest.
Pixel Fest, I apologize. So, I try, you know. But Pixel Fest. And yes. So Crooked Run Brewing. I'm actually looking forward to going out there with you, Christina, supporting you, trying some brews myself, getting some reviews for the YouTube channel, and probably picking up another piece of glassware. I already have the Spiegelau from Crooked Run Brewing, and I'm hoping to pick up the Tulip Glass. So that's pretty cool. So I'm collecting glassware from all these regional breweries, folks. It's a lot of fun. So it's actually, for me, just as fun as collecting banknotes. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about your upcoming shows? Anything going on for the internet, the interwebs, any new releases for yourself, anything like that?
I am working on some more characters to be loaded.
To what?
The website and on Facebook.
Gotcha.
There's a weekly release of one little hint or one little thing that is utilized in the books. Like, so you can actually start to visualize more and more of the book. So on Facebook.
So basically you have foreshadowing and things like that.
Yes.
Kind of coming
in. And it explains things that are in the book.
Gotcha. So other things are happening, folks. We're very busy. We're promoting the podcast. We're promoting the book series. We've been doing a lot of travel this year.
Yes.
We were just counting. And I think, Christina, I mean, we're approximating here, but you've made over 20 appearances this year.
In 13 months.
Well, 13 months a year. Same difference. I mean, come on. It's one extra month. Come on. So, in approximately 1 year, you made over 20 appearances, basically. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot, especially when working and trying to create content. You've released 2 books this year.
Yes.
So,
and I'm halfway done with the next one.
We're just busy people, folks. But again, every little bit helps. It helps us out. And, you know, if you take a flyer at an event, or if you check out the website from the QR codes, it helps. And by the way, folks, Christina also just got another haul of books in. The latest books to be brought in for inventory also have a QR code on the back cover.
Yes.
So you'll be able to zap the QR code with your device and be able to be taken to the website.
Yes.
So that's a new enhancement as well for the books. You now have QR codes.
Yes.
On the covers, at least. On the back cover.
Yes. And it also has the Facebook listed, too.
Good. So There's a lot of things coming, folks. I mean, again, a lot of this is all organic, self-funded, things like that. But we're turning corners, and we're really happy to be doing a lot of what we enjoy doing versus, you know, having to do something for someone else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
To get through life. So we're making those steps, and we're actually enjoying our lives at the same time. Anything else in the books you want to talk about?
That's all for now.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump to the topic, folks, and we'll wrap up the episode. Sorry to be talking fast at the beginning of the episode. It's had a lot of energy. Christina, hopefully you'll slow me down in post if needed. But let's go ahead and talk about hidden rewards. So, folks, we've talked about this a little bit in previous episodes where we talk about reward programs, right? Grocery store rewards, hotel reward programs for loyalty, right? Airline programs, food programs, things like that. But we wanted to talk about a few maybe little-known programs or aspects of using your programs in conjunction with one another to gain the best savings. So Christina and I went out and did a little bit of research recently just to optimize some of our own programs. And we found some programs that and some aspects to programs that might be helpful. And one of them, you have your notes here, Christina, do you?
Yes, I do.
All right. So you have how many notes here? How many bullets we got? 5?
About, yes.
All right, so what's your first bullet?
Look for regional benefits, like museums, wineries, depending on where you live.
So, just to clarify that a little bit, there are certain credit card programs, folks, out there. For example, Chase Sapphire and some of the other elite programs. I'm not going to give a lot of detail because, again, sponsorships aren't in play here. So, If they didn't pay for us to mention them, we're not going to.
Or we're going to keep it brief.
Yes. So there are a number of credit card programs out there that in lieu of cash back, you receive admission benefits or other non-monetary benefits that save you money. And to Christina's point, for example, museum admissions, wineries, things like that, or as Christina's called them, vino places for the wineries. If you live in a place like we do, like Washington, D.C., where you have all these museums, which some of them do have public access for free because of endowments and grants and things, there's also more benefit there as well. So some of these reward programs are regional, like she said, and if you live in certain areas of the country, you may benefit more from them than others. So wineries, museums, etc. Next bullet.
Make sure you have no annual fees on your cards.
Yes. So a lot of these credit card programs, folks, are going to coax you in with really good reward programs or benefits like a companion airfare or free hotel points or things like that or lounge status at an airport or something like that. Remember, you're paying for this, folks. You should never, ever sign up for a credit card that requires an annual fee. There's no reason for them to make you pay so they can have access to your money that you're already going to be paying off or hopefully pay every month to have a zero balance. So avoid those at all costs. Next.
Do the supermarket rewards programs have more perks than you ever thought?
True. Before we get to that, though, let me go back a little bit back to the annual fee thing. There are some credit cards, you have to watch it, folks, that may provide an annual fee that may make it worth it. And what I mean by that is, for example, certain airlines may offer credit cards that you have annual fees that you have to renew every year. And it might be a few hundred dollars in some cases, but if you get a free airfare and a companion fare for two, that's not bad on a long-haul trip. If it's domestic in the United States, for example. Washington, D.C. to, let's say, San Francisco would not be a bad get for two in that regard. So some programs may actually make it worth it, because the annual fees actually cost less than the benefit that you're getting. And some of them even renew those benefits every year with the renewal of the card. So next bullet, which is, I believe you're talking about the supermarket programs.
Yes.
So there's a lot of hidden benefit from supermarket programs, folks. And those could come in terms of points for fuel.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're in a part of the United States where Harris Teeter is available to you, we love Harris Teeter. I believe they are partnered with British Petroleum, BP.
Yes.
Giant is another grocery store chain here in the U.S. is also partnered with Shell.
Yes.
Etc. So wherever you are in the United States or around the world, there are probably some partner programs here that you can use. So not only are you getting the benefits of the reward program, you're also able to leverage fuel points as well, which we've leveraged ourselves.
Yes.
So there is more benefit there than you think. And also, based on your membership status, especially if you're using electronic checkout kiosks, which also provide you with coupons, for example, you may get more lucrative coupons or better coupons based on your usage or your status as a rewards member. So, for example, Christina, you were able to grab two coupons yesterday, each for a half pound of Oscar Mayer lunch meat.
Yes.
So we saved alone there $6 across two stores, half pound of turkey, half pound of ham, yes. I believe. Not bad. So there's other benefits that are non-monetary with your reward programs and partnerships. Next bullet.
That was the bulk of it. And then the other was like, well, AMC with the movie passes.
Yes. So movie theaters, other entertainment venues, no matter where you are, folks, may offer some really nice benefits or programs that are nice. They're nice passive gets for you. For example, restaurant loyalty programs is another one of those, and I'll group that in here. You may not eat out much, folks, but when you do, you may get a reward at sign-up for the program. You may get a reward on your birthday, which we leverage to the hilt on our birthdays,
yes,
by the way,
do.
Folks. In fact, we found some additional programs just today doing some research that we need to grab the mobile apps for and sign up. Because, Christina, your birthday is coming up in December, and you'll be years old. And my birthday is in January, where I will be 21 and holding. So we have some additional benefits. But again, take advantage of these programs, folks. Use monies where you can. Use points where you can. Leverage everything as an ecosystem, because one hand feeds the other.
And most people have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these programs are app-only programs.
So they're app-specific, app-centric.
Yeah. Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, just to name a few of those programs, are app-only reward programs.
Right. So I just want to point out something also here, Christina. You're mentioning things that are very regional. It's wherever you are in the world, folks.
Yes.
There's probably something there for you.
I was just giving examples of what we have here.
But you're right. I mean, fast food-wise and stuff like that, people are always on the go. We're not huge fans of fast food, but when you need it, it's there. But you're right. Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, things like that. And a lot of these particular programs are also very good for your birthday. So, like, for example, we feast on our birthdays.
Yes.
So it's kind of like why would have a slice of grandma's birthday cake that's probably dried out, but you don't want to break her heart by telling her it's horrible. Why not get yourself, like, a tiramisu or an almondine or something like that?
Or a Napoleon cake.
Yes, that will help you out. So, and you could be eating birthday desserts for a week.
Yes.
Refrigerate them accordingly. But anyway, folks, these are the reward programs that we hope that you take advantage of. They're everywhere. We've used them ourselves. We continue to use them. And they come up to benefit you in life when you least expect it.
Yes.
So, for example, these events where we're on the road a lot for cons or just other community events, these benefit us a ton. So there's a lot of point programs out there. There's points for virtually anything and everything out there. Take advantage of them. Make them work together so they work better for you. So you want to go wrap us up?
Yes.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap up episode 149 of the Frugal Snobs podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Check out everything that is the podcast by visiting frugalsnobs.com. Check out the YouTube channel as well. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. It helps us out. You can go to youtube.frugalsnobs.com to check out all of our content. You can also go to Facebook for all of our social media as well as Twitter. But we're more active on Facebook. On Twitter, we're available at Frugal Snobs. On Facebook for the social stream, it's available at facebook.com/frugalsnobs. We're not going to forget Christina here as well. Anything related to Christina's book series, you can go to imperiallegends.com. You can also check out all of her postings, which are nearly daily at this point, by going to facebook.com/imperiallegendsseries. If you'd like to join the mailing list for Christina's book series, send an email to info@imperiallegends.com. And I believe, Christina, you also have imperiallegends@gmail.com as well.
Yes.
.com. But again, probably your best bet is to really just check out the stream on Facebook. Get in touch. Send a friend request if you wish, that sort of thing. And, of course, we'll govern those accordingly.
Yes.
Is that fair? All right, folks, we're going to wrap this up. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Be well. Never pay retail. Take care of yourself and each other. Hey, everybody, this is Justin from FrugalSnobs.com. I brought Smith me, say hello.
Hello!
Brought everyone a quick drink review. This time it is for the Terrapin Brewing Company's Up High IPA. Now, you would think that Terrapin Brewing Company would be based out of Maryland, right? The Terps. No, Athens, Georgia, folks. This particular IPA carries an ABV of 5.9%, 80 IBUs, an OG of 13.9. Beer Advocate gave it a 3.88,
yes,
I believe, and Christina was reading up on this particular brew. But before I get to that, I wanted to also call everyone's attention to the new glassware.
Yes.
This particular beer glass comes to us from Lancaster Brewing Company, and I'd like to thank the folks at the branch location for the Lancaster Brewing Company in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, for providing me with this piece of glassware, as well as a coaster and a couple of tchotchkes, a couple of stickers as well, all for one price. So that was really unexpected, but really nice. So I just wanted to show off the new glassware while we review this beer. So I'll go ahead and give this a sniff.
What's it remind you of? I think it's more citrusy. Like, I smell a lot of orange.
It's definitely an orange citrusy smell. And I believe this brew also boasts 5 citrusy hops.
Yes.
As well as hints of biscuit and caramel malt. So it definitely has that citrus smell to it. An orange color also to this particular brew. Let me give it a sip.
And they say that Up High is a gesture with 2 people simultaneously giving each other a high five.
Really?
Yes.
Wouldn't know that.
And that's at least their definition.
I see. So I just give this a sip, folks. Definitely drink very cold. You definitely taste the bitter units and the citrus. Has that grapefruit orange style taste to it. Definitely, like I said, I would drink very cold, 45 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. As a fan of IPAs, I tend to drink darker beers very cold. Also, I would enjoy as a standalone. I would not enjoy this with food, everyone. This particular brew is definitely bitter, You taste every one of those 80 IBUs. As always, folks, please enjoy responsibly. I would give this particular brew, I'd say a 4-star snob rating out of 5. But very good. Definitely drink very cold. It is the Terrapin Brewing Company's Up High IPA. If you like what you see, what you hear, please check out all the other videos here on the channel. And, of course, check out the Frugal Snobs podcast. Everything you need to know is at frugalsnobs.com. Till we speak again, folks, be well. Never pay a retail. Enjoy responsibly. Take care of yourself and each other.